Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the ale.
Hello, friends.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back to What the Ale. I'm Alana Ray.
And I'm Mama Jane.
And if you hear the shaking noises in the background, I am still dog sitting and these guys are playing to their heart's content. So sorry, everybody. But before we get into it, Mama, do you have any What the Ale moments?
Probably just that I had to have a little procedure earlier this week and I was told that it wasn't that big of a deal. And I'm finding that it is a very big deal and I'm having a hard time doing lots of daily life functions. So yeah, I'm looking forward to things healing and being better so that everything doesn't hurt and is difficult to do. So
yeah. Oh my goodness. That's a real thing. I mean, I think surgery, I feel like this is like totally a thing the medical system does. Like I even noticed it when I was doing my fellowship. Like people would get like full knee replacements and he would expect them to walk out of the hospital the next day, yeah. You know, and like things like that where you're like, what? Like,
well, and I walked out of the hospital an hour after my procedure, you know, but doctor said most people take a week or two, but she was like, oh, but you have a sedentary job, so you're probably fine. And so like, I only took 2 days off and then I'm finding it very difficult to maneuver. And I actually have to use the elevator, which I never do. And yeah, so it's just, it's a what the hell moment because I wish I had been better informed about what the recovery was actually going to look like.
Well, I'm very sorry that the recovery has been harder, but I will do my best to take the good care of you next weekend.
Yeah. Well, and then, yeah, I decided instead of having a beer today, I'm having a mango margarita because I'm like, I need tequila because I, you know, I'm not a medication person. I really try not to take a lot of medication and, you know, we have some opioid addiction in our family and like, you know, whatever. So, yeah, so I'm trying to avoid taking pain medication. So today I'm having a margarita.
You know what? Fair and valid. Fair and valid. I think if I were you, I would have, you know, how they I have like one of those like big drink dispensers of margaritas, yeah. Probably, which is not healthy, but you know.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it to one, but I was like, since I'm trying to avoid the pain medication, I was like, I'll have a margarita. I'll have a little bit stronger drink than a beer today.
Nice.
Plus it's like still warm here and I'm waiting for the fall weather. So I'm like, I'll have one last margarita before the fall weather finally comes, which I'm like dying for because I love fall weather. So
yeah, you and me both, girl. I am so tired of this humidity.
Yeah.
And I know like for those of you who don't know, in Boston, it's like humid as fuck during the summer. And then in the winter, it is so dry that your skin is peeling just being outside. So like, there's no in between except for the fall and I want it. I'm like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
So I feel you there with the fall weather. It's a little gloomy today. So I'm hoping maybe we get a thunderstorm later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know we technically have a few weeks left to fall, but you know, everyone's going back to school and things. So it's a little different now.
Yeah. What about you, Annie? What the ale? Are you drinking anything?
Well, I'm actually drinking a Colorado beer to get in with the theme today. So
oh,
I'm
cool.
having a left-hand milk stout, which I think is made in Colorado Springs. I could be wrong. Because it's like easy to drink and yummy. So yeah, that's what I'm doing for my drink. And then let's see, a good what the ale moment for me is that I am feeling like my heart is very full this week. Like I've had like kind of a tough week and like my friends have like really rallied. Like I had a friend Uber to me at 10 o'clock at night to like
Aww.
go on a walk with me and give me a hug. And like, you know, I've had friends calling and whatever. And like one of my friends is like planning her wedding. And so it's been really fun to like distract, you know, feelings with like wedding planning and like my friend went with me to like get my hair cut, which, you know, we're still not sure about the bangs I got, but you know, it's
Oh,
all
I think it's real cute, Alana. It's real cute.
I'm glad you like it. But Like I think I've been kind of like in like self-care mode a lot this week, and I'm just like very grateful for my people for showing up and like getting to just like, yeah, have quality time. I don't know. I'm
Yeah,
just,
no, that's awesome.
I feel like my heart is full.
That's good. You're such a loving and generous and kind person that it's nice when you can just like accept all of that kind of love back, you know?
Oh, totally. I think it's, yeah, it's like very, it reminds you that like you're doing something right if all of these people are down to like hop on a call or hang out with you. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So it felt good. But yeah, I guess we should get into our topic this week since I mentioned I'm trying to stick with the theme
Yeah.
here. So friends, I don't know if y'all remember, but episode or two back, we had mentioned that we are going to Denver. For a little trip, and we were talking about like flight ideas and what we wanted to do this month. And mom came up with the amazing idea of doing a flight based on haunted places in Denver.
Yeah.
And I do want to say this is kind of like a flyby of a bunch of them. We decided, you know, some of these are going to be bigger and might take like more of a like in-depth research sort of situation. So we wanted to do a flyby, and if we decide to come back to any later, we might. But before we like totally get
Well,
into
and
our,
some of these places we might actually visit while we're there because we're going to do a little ghosty tour. So
oh yeah, we
we
are
might
the,
decide we want to deep dive into one because of things that we see there.
yeah, absolutely. I think that'd be really fun. I'm excited for the go, I love a ghost tour, you
Me
know, so
too.
I
They're
think it'll
usually
be
so cheesy and whatever, but it's always fun.
it's fun, and I like history, so even just hearing the story of a building or like an area is cool to me. So
Yeah.
so I'm excited. But I guess before we totally get into the topic, do you have any like Denver memories or like anything you want to like
Well, I mean, we've been to Denver a couple of times, so, I don't know. I mean, I definitely remember the beautiful botanical gardens, and then I remember when we went out to Mount Evans and I had like horrible altitude sickness.
I mean, I think it was hitting us all, but you and the kid for sure were having it the
Yeah, that was horrible. I had never really
most.
experienced that before. But yeah, I just love Denver as a city, and there's some cool like breweries that we hope to hit up because some of them we've been to before. But yeah, it's just such a cool place. I really enjoy it there.
Yeah, I
Any
love Denver
standout
too.
memories from
I was gonna say I love Denver too. I was thinking about we went there and visited some family friends who were living there at the time, and like we went to this like fun little like play all you can type of arcade, but it was all like
Yeah.
old like 80s arcade games, and I thought
Oh my
that
gosh.
was really fun.
That was so fun. Oh, and we went to
So
that super janky amusement park.
yeah, God, I wish I remembered the name of it. But yeah, we went to this amusement park that was very old, but like seemed like a community staple. And we
Yeah,
had a good
but like our
time.
friends had just moved there, so they didn't know about it, but we were like, oh, this looks like fun. And then we got there and it was like really, really like I don't know if I trusted some of those rides, but it was, I mean, we ended up having fun, but yeah, it was like very janky.
Yeah, well, I remember the roller coaster. They had to stop it manually, and that was something
Yeah.
that stressed me out. I was like, what if they don't stop it?
Yeah. No, but
But everything.
every time we've gone to Denver, I've always had a good time. And then, yeah, our friends took us, I think they lived in Lakewood at the time. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
But yeah, but they took us up to look at Red Rocks, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing Brandi Carlile at Red Rocks next week.
Yeah, I have a friend that saw Hozier at Red Rocks and said it was just like, and like everyone I know that's seen a show at Red Rocks, they're like, that's kind of probably my favorite concert just because it's such a
Yeah.
beautiful place.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Definitely like bucket list item. Definitely just like excited to do it. It's gonna be
Yeah.
great.
Well, and we got some cool blazers to wear because we're seeing Brandi Carlile, so we
Oh
got some
yeah.
little outfits for the trip.
Oh yeah, you gotta wear a blazer. You gotta look gay. That's the
Well,
rule.
yeah, we're not gonna do the full suit. We're gonna do it with jeans, but yeah, I love her style.
Same. She's super cool. Well, All right, I guess I can get us started with places, haunted
Sounds
places.
good.
Well, did you know that the Denver airport was haunted?
I did not know that, but I'm like very interested about that because we're definitely going to be going through there and we've been through there before.
I will say Denver is like the place for layovers when you fly from Boston. And so
Yeah.
I feel like I've been in the Denver airport more times than I can count.
Yeah.
And I have never had a supernatural experience, but there were things that are mentioned on here that I'm like, oh yeah, I've totally seen that. So, a little history is that it was built in 1995, which is shocking to me that it was, I guess, so recent.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. And there's not a lot of history known about the land before the airport was built. There is like an urban legend of the classic like Native American burial ground, which like I don't know if I believe it, but like you feel, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I have like I feel like that's an excuse used a lot
Yeah.
for haunted places.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But apparently a lot of people feel presences and have really uneasy feelings once they walk into the terminal. Like
Okay.
they're fine on the plane, they're fine, you know, once they get to their destination, they're fine once they even leave the airport, but like at the actual terminal, something is feeling off.
My uneasy feeling when I get off the plane is I need to go to the bathroom. That's always my uneasy.
Yeah, it's either like
Don't
I gotta
know
go to
that
the
that's supernatural.
bathroom, I'm hungry, I need
Yeah.
coffee, I need a beer. Like
Yeah.
it's very like meeting basic needs, not like.
Yeah, I was gonna say my uneasy feeling is definitely not supernatural. I don't think when I come off a plane there. It's usually, do I have time for a snack before my next flight?
Exactly. But apparently, like, you know, a lot of people, like skeptics specifically, are like, well, it could be the altitude. Like, it's the Mile High City. Like,
Yeah.
if you're not used to it, you could feel a little off just getting off a plane. That makes sense. And I think that's like a totally valid excuse, but I think like the feeling presences or feeling watched is like a little different, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm always like very observant when I'm at an airport because I'm like, people are watching me and I want to watch and make sure. And also the people watching when you're at an airport bar is fabulous.
Oh, I know. Well, I love to people watch anywhere, but there's something about an airport because people are very weird, and it's like once people sit in the little terminal area, it's like they think that nobody can see them because people do weird things.
Yeah, there was a guy I remember one time. I don't remember what airport, maybe it was Salt Lake when I was coming home for my sibling's graduation, but it was like late at night and I think the guy was planning to sleep in the airport, so he had a full CPAP machine just like laying
Oh my
down in
gosh.
the airport. And I'm like, you're just gonna like sleep with a CPAP machine?
Yeah, I know. I just seen somebody like file the dead skin off their bottom of their feet. Obviously people often have phone calls that like they act like nobody else is a witness to this phone call, and talk about all kinds of stuff. But
Oh
yeah, you
yeah.
see all kinds of weird things at an airport. So it's good people watching.
Oh, totally. I mean, I have totally had a job interview in an airport before, so I vouch as being one of those weirdos.
Yeah.
I feel you, I see you. But that's really all in terms of ghosts, except for people do say that like people that work at the airport, they say that the like equipment and technology is always kind of malfunctioning at the airport. And it's like pretty much like normal. Like for something to go wrong, for, you know, I don't know, people's like boarding and from like boarding passes or whatever to go missing. Like they're like it's like very common for technical malfunctions, which could be guys like you need to update your system. But like also
Yeah.
I feel like the Denver airport's really nice. Like when I've gone
Yeah.
through, I've never thought it was like old or janky.
Yeah.
So
Well, just as long as the air traffic control doesn't have issues.
right, yeah, we don't need any sort of real scary situations here.
Yeah.
But there also is a really interesting conspiracy theory related to secret societies at the Denver airport. Did you know
Oh,
about
really?
this?
I like the
So
Illuminati or something. Like, I don't know about this, but.
yeah, girl. So apparently, a lot of people say that the layout of the terminal and like other imagery throughout the airport kind of points to secret societies. There are like murals and paintings that like are very doomsday-y vibes.
Really? I don't remember that. I'll have to look out for that.
Yeah, and apparently there's like gargoyles. I don't recall ever seeing gargoyles, but I think that's interesting. And there's a theory, like, we do know that there is like a tunnel system under the airport. Like, we know that there's like some stuff going on because people take like trams to different terminals or things like that. But apparently, people think that the tunnels actually are much bigger. And so people think that there is like, secret entrances into the tunnels where secret societies will meet. And a lot of people do think this meeting point is a time capsule at the entrance of one of the terminals.
Really?
So the time capsule is set to be opened in 2094, so 100 years after like it was placed. And it has the like compass symbol of the Freemasons, which was historically what the Illuminati was.
Yeah.
And then it has the name of the two Grand Lodges of the Freemasons and the two Grand Masons' names inscribed on a plaque. And there's a theory that there's like
And that's
Braille on
something that we know for sure, or that's just a theory.
the time capsule's actually there. You can see the
Okay.
time capsule.
Oh, okay.
And I guess there's like Braille on the time capsule, and people think that if you touch the bumps in a certain order, like it'll open a secret passage.
Oh, really?
So that is a theory. I don't know. but I do think that's interesting. Some people think, and when it comes to the Illuminati, I think it'd be fun to do like a keg on this or something. But like it was obviously rooted in something kind of legit with like the Freemasons and things, and it became what it is now with lizard people. And so even with the kind of scale of what it is very different. Like some people think it's like there are lizard people living in the tunnels, and like some people think there are doppelgangers, a la Jordan Peele's Us, living in the tunnels. One theory that I think is kind of fun is that they think that there is actually an underground tunnel that stretches 100 miles to NORAD,
Oh,
or
really?
so the North American Aerospace Defense Administration. I don't know if people know what that is, but people think that maybe that's like some sort of big, like, governmental like tunnel, and like important things are kind of, I don't know, move through the tunnels. And I do think Colorado is kind of close to a lot of like big paranormal hub type places. So I think it could be an interesting theory. But the last sort of weird thing at the airport, which they think is pointed to a secret society, which I have seen, is Blucifer, which is
Lucifer.
a 32-foot statue of a horse with red eyes.
Huh, have I seen that? I probably just walk right by him and don't even notice.
Well, so Blucifer is like outside of the airport. So like when you land, you'll see this like massive like Mustang like reared back with like red eyes.
Really? I'll have to look for him this time.
yeah, I'll make sure, when I pick up the rental car, I'll drive you by him. I'll be like, here he
Okay.
is. But that's kind of the last thing people are like, that's a demonic horse and Satanists are, whatever.
Huh.
But
Yeah, I
yeah.
don't remember seeing that, but that might be because I was like rushing to the bathroom or to get my beer or whatever.
Right, totally. So anyway, that is what I have on the Denver airport. So outside of it, I don't know if it's haunted necessarily, but there are some weird things in the airport, and feel free to take a peek when we're there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've got a spot that we are going to visit on our ghosty tour, which is the Molly Brown House Museum.
Ooh.
So this is the home of, or was the home of, the unsinkable Molly Brown and her husband JJ. So Molly was born in Missouri to Irish immigrants and worked in a factory before following the wave of migration to Colorado. She became involved in soup kitchens and philanthropy. And then she met her husband, JJ, who is a mining engineer. And at the time, he had very few prospects, but they got married. And then during the silver crash, JJ found gold while, and that ended up making him a millionaire. So they went from,
Wow.
very little prospects to suddenly they're millionaires. And
Wouldn't
then
that be nice to just discover gold, Mom?
Yeah, no, I'm like, yeah, it's funny. I know somebody that was talking about wanting to take up gold panning in retirement, and I was laughing, because I'm like, that's such a random thing to want to do in retirement. But I'm like, watch, he's probably gonna like find gold and like strike it rich.
Yeah, I'm like, I've just learned not to laugh at people's weird things they want to do because.
You know, when you're in retirement, anything to keep yourself busy and sense of purpose is a good thing. Like, so I think it's cool that he wants to do that as a hobby, but I'm like, watch, he'll probably be one of these people that make $1 million.
Yeah, he'll probably find like an undiscovered deposit somewhere in the
Yeah.
river. Like,
Yeah, it'll be crazy. But then I'll be like, well, you know, I supported your dream, so you gotta buy me a necklace at least.
or a tennis bracelet.
Yeah. Okay, so they ended up moving to Denver and embarked on a world tour in 1902. But then in 1909, they quietly signed a separation agreement and split the fortune. And she had like a $700 per month allowance, which was huge at the time. So
Yeah.
she was doing really well and worse.
I mean, good for her though. Like,
Yeah.
I'm glad that he didn't just like leave her penniless. Like,
Well, and I mean, you know, he found the money after they were married. She was with him before he had his money. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's definitely community property. And you know, but she, I don't know. I mean, it seems like if they, you know, kind of dissolve the marriage privately and like whatever. I mean, it doesn't sound like it was very contentious. So hopefully it was just like, this is the right thing to do. We're both equal parties and
Yeah,
yeah, let's be fair and kind to each other, which is how it should be.
I agree.
So she was in Paris when she received word that her grandson was ill. So what does one do? They book
Like,
passage on the Titanic.
I was gonna say, well, you gotta go home, so.
Yeah, so you know the unsinkable Molly Brown, you know, but I know that she had that name before the Titanic, but definitely the Titanic made that even more true. So you know, she when the Titanic was in trouble, she ended up helping passengers in the lifeboats before she was put on the lifeboat number 6 on the Carpathia, which is the ship that you know, ended up picking them up from the water and, you know, taking care of them after they got off the rafts. During that time, she translated for passengers. She helped with distribution of blankets and supplies. And then she also encouraged first class passengers to take up a collection to support survivors who lost loved ones. And she raised $10,000.
Wow. I mean,
So,
this lady sounds so rad. I want to be her friend.
well, that's what I was gonna say. I mean, I know she's, you know, before they even had the money, she was like, you know, trying to work in soup kitchens and do good for people in need. You know, but it's nice because sometimes people come into money and then they'd forget about those things. So it's nice that she remained a really nice and thoughtful and generous person.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, anyways, their house has since been converted into a museum. And you know, part of that is to recognize their efforts and the philanthropy and all of that. But employees there do experience some interesting things at the house. So apparently JJ was a heavy cigar smoker, so people smell his cigar just randomly when they're in the house. And I feel like we've heard that with other cigar smoking ghosts that you know they have it after death and you can smell it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. Like a lot of times, like people will smell a perfume, or they'll smell, like you said, cigar smoke, or you know, different things. I think like smells are one of those like tangible things that like people
Yeah.
notice, and so that's, I don't know, that's kind of like it doesn't sound very scary. I'd be
Yeah,
like,
but you
okay.
know, just feeling like his presence is there. And then people also hear the sound of piano playing without anyone touching the keys. So,
Oh.
you know, I always think that's interesting when we hear about that. Because even like at the Stanley Hotel, that was a thing where, you know, his
Yeah.
wife had that concert hall that was built for her and you could hear the piano. But I do think that's cool too. Like if somebody in death is still like practicing their talents and, you know, enjoyment of music and all the things. So very cool.
Yeah. I
And
do
then,
wonder, you know what I wonder about that though?
huh.
Because I feel like sometimes they say that you see the keys being pressed down, and sometimes they just say that you hear piano music. Like, I
Yeah.
wonder what the difference is.
Well, I don't know, but you know, I feel like a lot of times you hear about people hear the music, but when they come in, like the music stops. Yeah. So
It's like
I don't
they're
know.
playing for themselves, you know, they're keeping
Yeah.
up the skill.
Yeah. Or once they know they're caught, they're like, oh, I better be quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then people also see shadowy figures like sneaking through the halls and rooms of the house. But yeah, nothing real specific about that. So
Well,
yeah.
I feel like shadow people are super common, especially like if this was your home and you're, still kind of here a little bit. It makes sense to
Yeah.
me. Awesome.
Yeah, so
Well,
that's what I got on the Molly Brown, or I guess, yeah, it is the Molly Brown House Museum. I was like, is JJ still on there? No, it's just Molly Brown House.
I mean, I think Molly Brown's the one everyone knows, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, and it, yeah, I didn't check, but I wonder if like she stayed in the house after the divorce and he went somewhere else. But I mean, his spirit is still obviously connected to that house, so it must have been a special place for both of them.
Yeah, that would have been interesting to see like more about, how the separation went and everything. But
Yeah.
yeah. Cool. Well, I am going to cover the Brown Palace Hotel next, which surprisingly has no relation to Miss Molly Brown.
Yeah.
But she did stay here for a week after the Titanic sunk. So that is something to know. She actually has stayed there, but it's not named after
Okay.
her. It's apparently like a very lavish, beautiful, fancy hotel, kind of like the Pfister. And six US presidents have stayed there. The most recent was Bill Clinton that I could find, but like maybe it did, who knows? And the Beatles stayed there while they were still a band, and Queen Marie of Romania stayed there as well.
Oh, wow.
So it is a very nice place to stay if you're in Denver. However, there is a darker history. So there was a murder of a famous gangster at the hotel. A man named Tony Poole was shot to death by John Henwood. Apparently, the two were classically in competition over the affections of a young lady who was a socialite named Isabel Springer.
Well, isn't that always the way?
Yep. And Tony, ended up being shot to death in this altercation, which, like, y'all, there are so many fish in
Yeah.
the sea. Like, come on.
Yeah, I don't think any woman is worth it. To me, that's more about your pride than it is actually about how much you care about the woman.
Yeah. Like it makes me like such a like random tangent, but it makes me think of like Hamilton where like because Burr's like telling the story of the duel and he's like, it's not worth it. Like it wasn't worth it. Like,
Yeah.
like looking back on it, like, whatever. And it's like, yeah, like it's not worth it.
Yeah, because there's always like consequences, and yeah, and it wasn't, yeah, and I think most people that commit some kind of stupid fight or murder or whatever regret it.
Yeah. Well, and in terms of spirits, there's nothing super specific. People do see apparitions in the halls of like people in older clothes and things like that. One of my favorites was that there's a train conductor walking around, and I think that's very
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't think of a train conductor ghost.
Yeah, I wonder where he's coming from.
Right? Well, I mean, the train does go through Denver. I don't know. I find that very just kind of silly and fun. But people also have heard a baby crying in the basement. There's not really an explanation as to why. Maybe, people who worked at the hotel like had their kids down there sometimes or something. And then there's also a service elevator that will just kind of move on its own or just like move kind of unusually. So a lot of people think there might be like a residual like spirit of like a server or a maid or something that's operating the elevator. Because it
Yeah.
will like it might just like randomly pop up on a random floor and there's no one in it and that type of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, that is the Brown Palace Hotel.
Okay. Well, and this one's a pretty short one, but there's a Denver Children's Home, and this was at one point the city's orphanage.
Oh.
Now in 19, or I'm sorry, 1888, a fire broke out on the third floor of the building, and many children died as a result of the fire.
Oh.
And then the building was re, you know, it was rebuilt after the fire and renamed the Denver Children's Home. So basically, I mean, it's just that at night there's the sound of children crying and whimpering, that are not the kids that are there now.
Oh,
And there's
wow.
also a story of a young bride who will descend the stairs and people see her in the hallway on the second floor. So yeah, no real explanation as to why that is, but that's one of the things people report seeing. So
A
yeah,
young
not
bride is interesting, though. Like, is
yeah.
she, like, do we think, like, she was giving up a baby, or do we think she was looking for a baby? And, like, why is she tied to the children's home? Like, I don't, that's just interesting.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it makes sense that it would be something like that. I'm not sure why she's dressed as a bride if she's like looking for her child or whatever, but yeah, but I mean, but that's basically all it is just that sound of children cr crying and whimpering, you know, maybe like the children from the fire. So yeah, so that's all I got on that one.
Well, that's very sad. I
Yeah.
mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like anytime there's a disaster like that, it's just like, it's really sad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Awesome. Well, my next story is the Patterson Inn, also known as the Patterson Croke Campbell Mansion.
Wow, that's quite a name.
Yeah, my understanding is several people have just owned it, so they kind of like hyphenated the name.
Wow, that's a lot
But
of names.
yeah, so it was originally built by Thomas Croke in 1890. It was reported that he only stayed in the house one night and never lived there again. When he was asked about it, he just said he got an uneasy feeling about the mansion and he didn't want to stay there. So
Oh,
he
so on
sold
his
it.
first night, he was uneasy enough to like not live in the house he just bought.
Right. And I want to know what uneasy means. Like, did he see something scary and is just being a man and doesn't want to like tell us what the scary thing was?
Well, not even house he bought. He built the house and then felt uneasy.
Yeah.
Wow. So you spent all that time designing and building a house and then you only stay there one night. It must have been something.
That's how I feel. I'm like, you wouldn't just like walk out. I don't know. So that is strange. It was then sold to Thomas Patterson. And while Patterson lived there, there was some strange stuff going on. So apparently, two Doberman Pinscher dogs died after plunging out of a third story window.
Oh
There was
gosh.
no reason for this. It wasn't like they were chasing a toy. They just plunged out of the window,
That's very strange.
which I have never seen a dog try to do that. I mean, I've seen a dog do stupid things like try to follow a toy into the street or something, but like never jumping out
Well,
of a window.
you know, I have one Doberman Pinscher story, and
Oh.
it's my great aunt had the Doberman Pinschers when they lived in LA, and so there were two giant ones, and then they had a toy Doberman Pinscher, which is a tiny one that never gets bigger. And one day, I think it was Thanksgiving, but we were all in the house for Thanksgiving. And I want to stress, I was always afraid of these dogs because I was like very young and they were big, way, way bigger than me. But one time we were all like, you know, in Thanksgiving at our house back then, it was like some people were at the table, some people were in the living room watching football, you know, kids are on their own, like, you know, everybody's just kind of throughout the house eating. But we were all in the house eating, and one of the Dobermans took off running towards the house and ran into the sliding glass door. And I think he thought the door was open.
Oh, no.
But it was the most terrifying thing because I was already afraid of these dogs. And I had this see this dog running at the door and then crash into the door. And you know, the door like shattered, and then his head was all bloody, and like he had to get his ears wrapped and all the things. But that is my Doberman Pinscher story, but as a small child, it was terrifying.
Wow. Yeah, that's scary. It's actually funny that you mentioned that story because my someone I know has a dog. And the dog, he won't run through glass, but he will try to run through the screen. So like if the screen
Oh.
is pulled closed, he'll try to run through it. But I'm like, guys.
Yeah, this dog full force right into the glass. It
Oh.
was really sad. I was a small kid just seeing all the blood, and you know, I was already afraid of the
Yeah.
dog, so I'm sure the dog was trying to get me, even though the dog was just trying to get in the house. But yeah, but I yeah, that's my Doberman Pinscher story. It was
Well,
scary.
I'm so sorry that you had to experience. I can't imagine seeing that. That's very scary
Yeah.
to me. But yeah. Anyway, apparently, you know, the ghosts of Patterson and his wife are said to haunt the mansion. People just kind of see them like around the house. People also report that there is a kid that is playing in the hallway. And there's not much of an explanation as to like who it is. I'm not, I mean, I would assume maybe it's the Patterson's child. And then eventually it was sold to the Campbell family. There wasn't much about what the Campbells experienced. Maybe if I did a deeper dive, you know, obviously we'd see more. But outside of that, the history of the land was really unclear. Like, it wasn't like it was for sure built on a burial ground or anything like that. But people do think that maybe a spirit was awakened while it was being constructed. Just because I think sometimes that happens, right? Like, so yeah, anyway, that's the Patterson Inn.
Okay. Well, and I'm gonna take us to Cheeseman Park. And this
We've
is
been there.
and this is one of the most popular outdoor parks in the city. And apparently this was a site that was also built on a former burial ground. Now, this one is not the traditional ghost stories of Native American burial ground. This one says that they were quote unquote undesirable people of the city. And so they said there were like various outlaws and people who died from infectious diseases and like poorer citizens that were built there that were buried there.
Oh, wow.
And apparently there was like 2,000 people that were interred there, and their remains, you know, are under the ground before the park was built on top of it. So,
Wow.
yeah. So, and that's a lot of people. But
Yeah,
there's no.
I do wonder like the legality of that, right? Like, I mean, because like that's the thing in Boston, like Boston Common, people just used to bury people there. So like we know that there were people buried there. But like what is the legality of just building a park on top of a site where a bunch of people are buried? Like it's
I mean, I don't know. I know like you have to disclose certain things when you're selling houses or whatever, but I'm not sure about like if a city decides to build a park, like would they, I mean, is that normal that they would just go, okay, we're gonna build it here and like ignore that there's graves underneath, or would they want to move those graves? I don't know, but yeah, I mean, apparently the park was just built on top, so yeah, those who live there say that they hear strange moaning and groaning noises. And some have seen apparitions that seem like lost and confused. So maybe their rest was disturbed and they're not quite sure what's going on. So yeah, but that's the main thing that you see there is just some apparitions and some noises. So yeah, we'll have to check that out when we're there.
Yeah, we might just have to go on a night walk, Mom. That's what
Yeah.
I'm hearing.
Well, I mean, the ghost tour, you know, we'll go by there too. So,
Oh,
yeah,
that's true.
definitely we'll get out and walk around while we're on the tour. And we might have to go back when there's less people around, though.
Yeah, I agree. But interesting. Yeah. That's just a weird question, right? Like what happens when a park's built on a burial ground? But anyway, my last or my next one, it's not my last one, is a shorty, but it's interesting. So apparently the Capitol Hill neighborhood of Denver, has some like little ghosties hanging out. So it was originally, and I'm sure it still is, an affluent area. It was home to the wealthiest people of Denver. The Colorado State House is in this neighborhood. And apparently people believe that past residents love to let the newcomers know that they're still around. So there will be things like doors opening and closing, or, you know, like very basic haunting stuff, like footsteps and things, nothing too crazy. But people often will see shadow figures on the street, and the sides of buildings. So, like, they'll kind of see people like creeping on the side of a building, or like a figure creeping on the side of the building. And people have even seen them at the governor's mansion. So, there are definitely some shadow figures around, but just kind of pretty basic hauntings in the Capitol Hill area. So, yeah.
All right, I'm going to take us to the Buckhorn Exchange, and there is a sign at the exchange boasting it's Denver's original steakhouse.
Ooh.
It opened in 1893 and served as a restaurant and a trading post. And then there were many like Wild West type characters that came through, so miners, cowboys, and railroad workers. And then even President Teddy Roosevelt made an appearance during his term in 1905.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so one of the I just decor wise, one of the things is they do have mounted animals covering the walls of the restaurant, and I'm just not a fan of that. I'm an animal lover and I just that's not my decor vibe that I find appealing. So I find it a little creepy, but I know some people are very into that. So, to each their own. And then patrons and employees report that tables will move on their own and that footsteps and voices, and like silverware clinging is often heard even when there's not people like using the dining room or whatever. So, yeah, just lots of strange noises and things moving on their own. Yeah.
I wonder if the animals move at all. I like that would be an interesting
I didn't
could
see
you
anything about hearing animal noises, but if I was those animals, I'd be pretty pissed. I'd want to growl at somebody.
Yeah, or like just like wink every now and then to mess with them, be like, hello, hello, hello. Like if you were just ahead. I don't know, very Looney Tunes, I guess, is where my brain's going with these cool. Well, my last story is the Oxford Hotel, which is one of the oldest hotels in Denver. It was built and founded in 1891 by Frank Edbrook. During the Great Depression, it did actually undergo renovations, despite like most people in the country not having money. And it was kind of revealed and opened to have a very opulent Art Deco style once it was completed. But visitors have reported that they see a woman standing in their rooms, which is just unsettling to me. Like, why are you here? No, I mean, please, like, live your afterlife the way that brings you joy, but also, like, not while I'm in here. People also mentioned seeing a woman's face either in the distance or in mirror reflections. And there
See,
is
that would
something about
freak me out.
mirrors that scare the crap out of me. I
Yeah, that
can't
would totally freak me out.
have that.
Because
I
then
can't.
you see it in the mirror, and then you immediately are going to turn around and see if the person's behind you, and they never are. But like, yeah, that would freak me out so much.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, I don't want it at all. But yeah, definitely a little freaky. People also say there's like kind of an urban legend that in the bar of the hotel, there was a postman who came in one night. It was around Christmas, so in the winter, very cold, and he ordered a beer. And he sat there and drank the beer. No one noticed anything was off with this dude. And that, he finished the beer and the bartender was like, oh, I'll like take the bottle. And when he went to go grab the bottle, the man and the beer bottle were disappearing in front of him. So that's really the only like super
But
concrete
they were
story,
just
like I
like
said.
fading out.
Yeah, just like fading away, which is like, I love hauntings like that. Like when people see like a cowboy walk into a saloon or, a something like this. Like I always wonder, like, why, I guess, is my main question. So I find it very interesting.
All right. My last one is the Byers Evans House Museum. So this is the home of two prominent families in Denver, the Byers and the Evans. So it started off with William Byers, a newspaper founder. His family lived there for a bit, and then he ended up selling it to William Gray Evans. They're both named William. That was a very common name at the time, I guess.
Well, and that happened earlier, right? There were two people named like Frank or something. Wasn't that a thing? Thomas. It was two people named Thomas in the Patterson house.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel like that's pretty common that they were like just very common names that, came up a lot. So, okay, so that home has now been restored and is a museum. So, common things are the sounds of doors opening and closing behind them, phantom voices, and random apparitions in the room in the main hallway. So yeah, all the basic haunting things that you would expect. It doesn't say anything about like was there any like major events there, deaths or anything, but yeah, just some apparitions and normal haunting kind of stuff.
Wow. Well, That is a wild time. It's a wild time that these dogs keep barking. Right when guys. Again, very like normal hauntings, but I feel like it's always interesting when that happens, right? Like you're in someone's old house and that's what's going on. Well, thanks for sharing, Mama.
Yeah, thank you too. So I'm looking forward to our trip. I think it's gonna be so much fun. We'll get to see some of these places.
I agree. Yeah, I'm super excited. I really love Denver in general. So I'm just, yeah, like I said, excited to go back, see the things, and of course, see the fabulous Brandi Carlile and my amazing mother.
No, we're gonna have so much fun.
Well, anyway, friends, we hope you liked our flight this month. If you enjoyed it so much, you want to like, subscribe, and rate 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts, feel free. You could follow us on Instagram at WhatTheAlePod. We also have a Patreon you can subscribe to if you just go to patreon.com and look up What the L Podcast. And we also have an email account where if you want to reach out to us or send us your topic ideas or your own personal stories, anything like that, we would be so very grateful. So feel free to email us at whattheelpod@gmail.com. And outside of that, I just want to say I appreciate you, Mama.
I appreciate you, baby.
And we appreciate you. Bye.
Bye.